Hey everyone, just a quick word before we start this week's episode. We are throwing the second annual podcast listener extravaganza there at Naked City Brewery and Tap House on Greenwood Avenue here in North Seattle. It's going to be a great time. Come and meet us. It's totally free and it's going to be a lot of fun. The Stack of Times podcast will be here there. Grapes of Rad, The Sibling Rivalry, MacGuffin Podcast, all your favorite shows in one spot, Sean DeTore's mixtape. It's going to be fantastic. And like I said, it's totally free. Come to Naked City Brewery, August 3rd, 5 p.m. Have some fun with us. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 157 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight in your ear holes. Oh, look out. Don't worry, everybody. It was a fake explosion. It doesn't exist. It's not real. It's only here on these fake radio airwaves. It's not a real bomb, guys. Not a real bomb. Hey, welcome. Welcome back. We had to take a week off there, but we've got a great show for you planned for this week. Amazingly funny. Brian Posehn will be joining us shortly. You may remember him from Mr. Show or things like Seinfeld or things like Just Shoot Me. The tall, bearded, nerdy dude on all those things. And on Sarah Silverman's show, which he was awesome on as well. This was a lot of fun because I ran into Brian at a Comic-Con quite some time back. Does that even make sense? Is that proper English? Probably not. But I ran into Brian a while ago. He writes comic books. He's a big nerdy guy. He's into that stuff. And he writes comic books, and he wrote this one called The Last Christmas. I think it was called The Last Christmas. I think we'll be talking about this here shortly. But yeah, I saw him there. He was signing books and stuff and saying hi to people. And I was so nervous I couldn't go up and talk to him. This was like, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago maybe. And finally got the nerve up to talk to him and just, you know, played it off cool. I thought that would be my in to be friends with Brian Posehn. I just act like I didn't even know who he was, right? Don't give him the satisfaction, people. So I was really excited to get to talk with him and sit down and chat with him for the show. And he's just a totally pleasant dude. Wonderful person. And yeah. Oh, and yes, check out his show or his special, The Fartist, which was actually, I noticed when I went back and watched it after the interview was over, was filmed here in Seattle. And I believe at the Moor. And it was a great show. It was a really great show. And I got to see you know, when they do the little crowd shots and stuff, got to see a couple of buddies of mine, Ryan Crace and Timothy Meinig. Tim Meinig, who has been on this very program a while back when we interviewed his other band, Yarn Owl, way back in the day. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you guys have had a good week. Like I said, we had to take the week off last week because things were just a little too hectic with moving out of Dining Room Studios and into my grandparents' house up in Edmonds, Washington, which is a fair amount away, a fair amount of distance away from my original place of origin. So it's been a long commute, and it's been a long week, and I'm exhausted still. Yeah, I thought it would be weird. I'm 33 years old. I've moved in with my grandparents along with my wife and child. So it's not, you know, I'm not alone. I'm not alone here, which would make it weirder, probably, right? But yeah, I thought it would be weird. It was kind of embarrassing when we had to do it, but it needed to be done. We couldn't find another place to live in the interim. But it turns out it's been fucking fantastic. Pardon my French. It's been great because my grandma just is loving it. She's loving it. She's loving getting to spend time with her great-grandchild. And she's loving making us copious amounts of really buttery food. It's like she's basically force-feeding us sticks of butter every night. But I'll tell you this much, people. I believe, I haven't been able to weigh myself lately because everything's in storage, but I believe that I have lost weight moving in here, and we're eating like so much fattier foods, and I'm eating like, you know, I'm eating carbs. I'm eating like breads and potatoes and things like that that my grandma's making me. But here's the thing. I think it is portions because I'm too embarrassed to just like shovel shit into my face 24/7 when I get, you know, well, not 24/7, but when I get home from work. That's what I would normally do when I would get home from work in Seattle. When we were living on, you know, on our own, like normal adults, outside of your grandparents' house, I would just like shovel stuff into my face. And I think that's why I'm losing weight up here is because I'm eating, one, real food, and two, I'm eating much less of it, right? And it's great. Like the first couple of days, I was starving. I was like waking up at like 10:30 at night, and I'm just like, I gotta go raid the fridge. But there's nothing in the fridge. There's nothing in the fridge. And plus, it's not my fridge to raid. Maybe that's what I need to do. I need to rent a fridge at the new house. And that way, I won't eat all of it because it'll be somebody else's stuff. I wonder if that will work. Wheels are spinning. Hey, folks. Before we get to our first musical break, we want to remind you that we are having a contest to see who can come up with the best name for the new studio space at the new place. It's going to take a little while to get things set up there, but hopefully it will be sometime soon. We'll be moving into the new spot here pretty shortly, and then start to have guests in there. And it's going to be, I'm super excited. Very, very excited for the new studio space. It's going to be great. It's going to be totally detached from the main house, which is awesome because then I don't have to kick my wife and child out. But yes, we are having a contest to see who can come up with the best name. Maybe it's Roden Studios. Maybe we'll just go with that. We haven't received any emails on this lately. So I'm guessing that none of you want a free t-shirt and free poster from the Air Raid podcast. These are limited edition t-shirts, people. There are not many of these left. I think there's only about 5. But if you come up with a great name and it's something that kind of sticks in my craw, is that a bad term? Is that like that's not like a term that it's not a term of endearment, isn't it? If it sticks in my mind and I like the idea, you will be chosen. You will be the chosen one. And you will get a free t-shirt and a free poster sent to you free of charge, no shipping, no handling, nothing. You just get a free awesome t-shirt, the awesome Air Raid t-shirt, which you can go and check out at air-raid.net. Now, if you want to just buy a t-shirt, that would be great too, because we really could use the money. We need some new equipment. We need to pay for the new space, and we could use some help. So, go to the website. If you want to enter the contest, just write to me, aaron@air-raid.net. That's aaron@air-raid.net. And put contest in the little heading there, and tell me your idea for the name of the new studio. Plus, go there and donate to the show. We do need your help. We need your support because this thing does not make a lot of money, and it costs a lot to put on. So we could always use a few bucks kicked our way, and you can just donate anything that you feel is a legitimate amount. For getting all this free entertainment week after week with people such as Macklemore, Mudhoney, the President of the United States of America. Shall I go on? Dana Gould, Moshe Kasher, John Roderick, David Bazan. I mean, come on, people. Damian Jurado. Pete Holmes. Mike Birbiglia. I mean, wow, right? Jesse Thorne. You can go to the website, air-raid.net, and click on the archives page and check out all the old episodes to the show. Okay, let's get on with this, shall we? Have I rambled on long enough? Have I made enough plugs? Let's do this. Let's hear some Sand Rider. And when we get back, we'll be talking with Brian Posehn, famous comedian guy and star of his new special, his new comedy special on Netflix and available everywhere, people, called The Fartist. So go and check that out and buy it, for crying out loud. Just buy it. And there's my phone. Who would be calling me right now? That's just totally unprofessional. All right, this is Sand Rider. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us, everyone. Back to the show, and joining me here is Brian Posehn. Am I saying that right?
Yep.
It's not Posehn?
No.
I like to open every show with just a really good, solid joke, and that's my best.
All right.
That's my best.
Cool.
That'll Welcome, work. Man. Thanks for sitting down with me here for a moment.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you're going to see Pacific Rim with Derek Sheen here.
Yeah.
Miller, right? Yeah. Derek's a good guy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Are you excited about this movie?
I am. I'm trying not to get too excited. I was really fired up about a year ago. And then I saw the trailers, and I was like, I mean, I was fired just on the concept, the idea of, you know, giant monsters fighting giant robots,
yeah. So let me ask you this. Were you a fan of Robot Jocks?
What was that?
Remember Robot Jocks came out in like the, I think maybe late 80s, maybe 90.
Oh, it was like a movie.
The dudes. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a B-movie. Yeah,
it was the dudes. They would get into the giant robots and they would fight like box, basically,
right.
In these like, you know, 30-story tall robots.
Yeah, I just remember being aware of it. I don't know that I saw it. It probably looked...
Oh, man. No. I don't know if I could watch it again.
Would it hold up?
Now.
Think,
yeah,
no?
I have no idea.
Right.
But I really want to find a copy of that movie. And apparently they don't exist.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah. But that's what made me kind of excited about this one. And then as time kind of passed on, I was like, it's probably not going to be too good. But I heard a review this morning from a guy who I really trust. And he said it was pretty damn good. So
I was getting fired up about it. And then a friend sent me a thing saying, hey, Kanye West is in public saying how much he loved it. And that made me not care. Like, just hearing that guy's name sucks any excitement over anything.
Associated with kind of a nerdy movie.
Yeah.
That's too bad, man. Well, I hope it...
Like, I'd even like my wife less if Kanye West went, hey, your wife's pretty cool. I'd be on, meh.
Yeah, divorce. Right there. Or trial separation, right. At least, right? Yeah. So how long are you in town for, man?
Just till Sunday.
Yeah? There seems to be a lot of comedy going on in this this part of
Yeah, I know Marin's up here.
Yeah, and Eugene and Kristen Schaal.
Oh, really?
We're all over in Seattle for the Sub Pop Silver Jubilee.
Oh.
Are you
a
little pissed?
Is that why Marin's here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I just thought he was doing separate stand-up. Am I pissed?
Are you pissed because you didn't get invited to the Sub Pop thing?
Yeah, I'm so sad. Who do they even have anymore? I haven't cared about that label in a long, long
Mud
time.
Mudhoney's still on
yeah,
there. Come on.
Good.
Come on.
No, I like Mudhoney.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're more of a heavy music guy, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, years ago when some friends of mine were doing records for Sub Pop, I went, oh, that's cool they're doing that. And then I went to Relapse. I mean,
right.
It just made more sense for me to go to a indie metal label.
Yeah. Who was your friend's band that was...
But happy birthday, Sub Pop.
we have a lot of Sub Pop artists on this show.
Well,
so.
David Cross had done one, and Patton Oswalt.
Oh, you're talking
done
just
one.
Comedy. I thought.
Yeah,
you were talking
no, it was
like
when friends. Yeah, friends of mine were stand-ups were going to that label. It went, oh, that's a cool move.
Right.
But I'm gonna
right.
Do the metal version of that.
The more hardcore version.
Sure.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. So when
I'm doing grindcore comedy.
A lot of big swooping sounds and sludge metal going on in the background. Maybe some fire.
Yeah, sure.
That's great, man. Yeah. So when did your album come out?
The latest one just came out 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Congratulations.
The Fartist.
Oh, that's The Fartist?
Yes.
Oh, I thought that had been
CD
out for a while.
DVD. No, it was on Netflix first.
Okay.
Which was a cool thing to do, but then now I'm getting like people go, oh, I saw it on Netflix. It's like, all right.
Shit,
well,
buy it.
You can buy it now. Own it.
Yeah. Comedy, comedians and musicians seem to be going through the same thing right now with that kind of thing. You know, like, because you can... go to their Bandcamp site and listen to a musician's full album or, find it for free somewhere online. But
yeah,
it seems like kind of a tough thing, like making an album and trying to sell it.
I'm so old and I worked in record stores for years. Like that was my last day job.
Right.
In 92, I worked at a Tower Records in California. So because of that, I still, I want it. I want it in my hand. Bands that I'm into.
Yeah.
Like I can hear them on Amarth, on the computer, but I'm going to go to the store the day it comes out,
right.
And actually physically have the copy in my hand.
I'm the same. I'm definitely the same way. I like the hard copy.
I think there are a lot of younger people that are coming around to it, but then there's still so many that are just stuck in the, because when I've talked about it online, like the Black Sabbath record came out a couple weeks ago.
Right, yeah.
And I took a picture of me at the record store in my, in the record store parking lot, but with the CD in my hand in my car. And all these people were like, where'd you get your time machine, Grandpa? You know, and
that's a pretty good one, though, right?
God, the first time maybe, but you get 20 of those, and they're like, "Well, I don't own a DeLorean, Mr. Hollywood," you know, and it's like, "Oh man,
that's a pretty good one too, though." Yeah, but DeLorean pull.
The thing is, there are record stores everywhere now.
Oh yeah,
you know, and even ones that weren't that didn't exist 20 years ago. There's newer ones now, and then there's the place that's been there for 20 years. So,
right,
I don't care
right.
where you live. There's a record store. You have no excuse.
Yeah, you can go and buy a physical copy. Now, one thing that's coming back, and it seems like it's going pretty strong too, is like buying actual like vinyl.
I love vinyl. Yeah,
you big vinyl guy?
Huge vinyl guy.
Are you like way into the hi-fi? Like you get into, you know, the special, like, you know, heavy?
Yeah, I'll buy them if they offer them. I mean, there's really only a few bands that are doing that, especially in heavy metal.
Right, right.
But some of my Rush, I've found on that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if they did every Rush album like that, I would have every Rush album.
Now, what's the? I mean, they just don't warp as much or something. What's the thing with like the heavier gram weight?
I don't know what goes into it, but I know it's. I think it's usually remastered too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's like a combination of getting like a better version of it and a version that will last longer, I think.
Yeah, yeah. But I went a couple. I don't know. It was a couple years ago when I was. I inherited this really cool collection of vinyl, like old Jimi Hendrix and Dylan, and you know, all classic stuff. And I didn't have a record player. And so I went to this place in Ballard in Seattle, and I walk in, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm looking for a record player." And they're like, "Oh, yes, let me take you over here. Here's our model." It's like this big thing, and it's like the table, the turntable, is actually like this big, thick slab of glass. And it has this big, like, round, tubular rubber band that pulls it at, you know, that's spooled on this other thing, you know, that's big, thick. It was like $6,000. And I was like, "Well, I'm more looking maybe, you know, $40.
Right.
You know, and they're like, "Oh, no, we don't carry that stuff."
Right.
Yeah.
But no, now there is the high-end version. Yeah, you can spend a ton of money.
Oh, my God. You know, and like visible tubes like coming out of it.
I had
stuff
the same
like
experience when I went to get my player a couple of years ago. Like, I had asked my wife, you know, no one ever knows what to get me for Christmas or birthday. But I was like, "Just give me cash. I'm going to get a turntable, and I'll go pick out what I want."
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, I wanted to spend about $1,200 or $1,500, you know, total.
Okay, okay.
And so I think it was a birthday and and a Christmas and maybe a Father's Day. I think it was my first Father's Day. So I finally get all this money.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, it's not my own money. It's birthday, Christmas, Father's Day money. This will be awesome. And I went there, and it was the same thing of like, "This is 20 grand. And I'm like, "Nah, not making that kind of Father's Day cash."
Yeah, not like, yet anyway. Yeah, you got to have six kids for that, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So then
I found the other one.
You know, right,
the same. This store luckily had, you know.
Well, that's good.
But then
that's
they
good.
Made me seem like kind of a loser for only spending $1,500, you know. There's a little bit of like, I guess you can go that route, you know. It'll sound okay, you know. It's like that's not a, you know,
that's not okay.
That's not money to laugh at. That's still a lot of money to throw at something you're just going to listen to.
That's a lot of money, man.
Yeah,
I'm like looking. I'm still looking at like ones on like eBay for like $40,
right?
You know. These little tiny ones, they're kind of compact and stuff, but you can plug them into like a bigger stereo.
Right, or can't you find somebody's Technics turntable from 20 years ago?
Oh, probably, yeah. Or the little one that you used to listen to your Star Wars, you know, turn the page books.
Right.
You know?
That'll work, yeah.
Right, yeah. So you're a dad.
Yes.
How many kids do you have?
Just one.
Just one?
And he just turned 4.
Whoa, congratulations. Yeah. I've got a 2.5-year-old. Well, and a couple months. Like I didn't know.
You just started having fun probably in the last year, right?
Dude,
yeah.
Jesus. I didn't know that like the terrible twos were an actual like thing. And like that really took me by surprise. Like I was just like, "Oh, you know, cuz whenever you have a kid, like everybody comes up to you and is like, "Oh, let me give you some advice."
Right.
It's like, "Go fuck yourself. I don't want to listen to you because you're a bad parent in my
Right.
You know? You know?
Oh, I had the worst, but go ahead. Yeah. I had a DJ in Florida say, my kid was a year maybe at the time. And he goes, we're just sitting there, and I thought we were bullshitting. I didn't think we were on air. And he goes, you know, you're going to want to shake your baby. And I go, excuse me? And he goes, you know, Puerto Rican moms are right. You will want to shake your baby. And then, he made it racist, and I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Is that a radio show?
Yeah, and I looked to see if the red light is on, and the red light is on. So he's broadcasting this to all of Florida.
Florida.
Yeah.
Florida, there you
You
go.
Will want to shake your baby. You will get, and I never, ever wanted to. He was
you
wrong.
Never, you never got to that point where you were just
never got that mad.
I am sick of this.
I never got mad enough to destroy its brain, you know, like.
Or its spinal column, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I've never gotten that mad, but I have walked away. I can't take this.
Showed us a video, and did you take a birthing class or anything?
No.
We took a birthing class.
That must have been fun.
It was the best experience ever because I took it with three other couples, and one of them was Patton Oswalt and his wife, and then my writing partner and his wife, then the host of Walking the Room, this
Greg,
Dave Anthony.
Oh, Dave, okay.
One of the biggest dicks alive. He's one of my closest friends, but the guy is a dick.
He is a, yes.
I can say it because I've known him 20-something years, but imagine taking it just with...
those
sarcastic
guys, those
assholes.
That's got to be awesome. You're
the
just
other
sitting
people,
there watching
I
those.
Felt so bad for everybody else in our birthing class.
How many people were in it?
I would show up late. My phone would ring. We'd roll our eyes. We'd we'd say sarcastic shit. We'd ask dumb questions. There
that's
was about
hilarious.
15 couples, I think, in the thing.
Were your wives just like,
they know us.
Yeah,
they
married
us. So there, but there was a little bit of really, honey.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you turn it off?
I mean, my, you know,
it was more Patton's wife and my wife.
Right.
Because he and I were kind of the ringleaders. You know,
right,
we were the loudest of the four.
Taking the reins.
Yeah. So they both would like, come on, guys. This isn't the Brian and Patton show. There's other people.
Yeah.
You know.
So I'm glad to see that not much has changed. Like, you must have been that way, like, when you were younger, too, right? Were you, like, the class clown?
A little bit, kind of yeah. And I was quiet in the beginning. I was more the kid that would say shit that the class clown would repeat, if that makes sense.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, I had a little bit of that in the
so
beginning.
So you were kind of quiet and like reserved, but you had these
funny
things to
say. Yeah, and I'd
say
something in the back of the room.
And then,
because I never wanted to be, you know, in the front. I never wanted to be the focus of anybody's attention. You know? But I'd be in the back and I'd say, no, look at that. Junior year, I said something out loud and that got around the entire school.
You actually remember this? This is
There were
a
couple.
Point.
Oh, absolutely. Because my freshman year was miserable. But my junior year, we had a teacher who had a real obvious wig.
Uh-huh.
And he was picking on one of my friends. And he was kicking my friend out of the class. And so I said, and he's the guy's red faced and he's screaming at my friend. And I said really loudly, but, you know, perfect timing. I go, Mr. Grace, have you flipped your wig? And, you know, not the funniest thing I've ever said.
Yeah, yeah.
But one of the first things I said, like, for people to enjoy.
Right.
And they did. I mean, kids, like, it might have been the end. It might as well have been the end of the school year because were just like, woo, throwing shit in the air and just like... People went nuts. And
so he was like a hated teacher,
yeah,
too,
and it
right?
immediately went around school of like, oh, I heard you fucked up Mr. Grace, you know? Like,
did you go to, did you have to go to the principal's office for something like that?
Yeah.
Any suspension
with
involved?
Robert, with my buddy that he was yelling at. We both went together, so that was cool.
Wonderful, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like taking a birthing class.
walking down the hall laughing at what we had just done.
See, I was always like that, but I don't know if I could, like, get up on stage. Well, I've gotten up on stage and, like, hosted things and stuff and tried my hand at comedy. But, you know, it's just not something that I am prepared to make a life of.
Right.
So how did that come up? When did you start? I mean, was that, like, that moment in junior year of high school, like, was that the catalyst?
No, because I think that was the first time I let people see what was going on in my head, if sense.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Or, you know, and then I got more confidence with that and was funnier around friends, I think, after that. And then, but it took, I've talked about this before, I always felt like comedy, I wish somebody would have come to my high school and said, hey, you could do stand-up comedy, you know? Like, it was the thing that I never thought people could just do.
Right.
If that makes sense.
I think a lot of people are like that, though.
I had an English teacher in high school who sold jokes to comedians. She had sold, which you still can do, but she had, you know, she had written jokes for Joan Rivers and she had written jokes for other people. So I was like, oh, that's a possibility, because I was really into creative writing in high school.
Yeah,
that was like the only thing I liked. But so it took working, you know, at fast food at 20 and just hating it.
Yeah.
And going, you know, going to junior college and just, I was one of those kids that just didn't know what I wanted to do.
There
were a couple of things. I wanted to be a DJ at one point, and then I started working for a radio station in Sacramento and it was playing Top 40.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to take phone calls from kids about Milli Vanilli when they just heard it. And that was like the most miserable thing. Like, we just fucking played that piece of shit and you want to hear it again?
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And then, plus, I was a metalhead. So.
Right.
It's not a
very good mix.
And then I had a bad journalism experience too, where I interviewed the band Fishbone, and
Were you in the Fishbone?
No, I was. Yeah, and I credit them as starting my stand-up career.
Really?
Well,
why?
Yeah,
how?
Because I interviewed them, and I was like, I never want to ever do this again. And that was where I was going.
Yeah.
I was going to school.
Were they just like total assholes or what?
They weren't that bad. It just was so much work and so not fun. And then I wound up not having an article to turn in. Like, the answers were like, you know, like, who's your biggest influence? And the singer Angelo was like, Bugs Bunny. And I was like, all right, you're not taking this serious. And I'm 20 and I'm just trying to do this for my college paper.
Oh,
like,
man.
You fucking dick, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just walked away.
Right.
And it was around then that a friend got me to, you know, to start writing jokes, because I found out I couldn't get on stage in Sacramento until I turned 21.
Oh, because of, like, drinking?
Yeah, it was
alcohol.
The regular comedy clubs, you had to be 21 at least.
Right.
And, so the week I turned 21, I got on stage and I loved it so much the first time. I was like, wow, this is it.
Nice.
No matter what happens, I'll at least try this for a couple of years.
And yeah.
If I have to go back to college and figure out what I'm really going to do, then I'll do that then.
Yeah. Garbage Man.
Yeah.
Well, this is a great spot to take our second musical break. And we'll be right back with more from Brian Posehn. Funny man for what? I don't know. For life. What?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Boy, I fucked that up. This is Sand Rider. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Yeah, they're good beats. We had
like a Christmas song, I think, or a Christmas song, however you pronounce it. But and then Sandrider itself is a dude.
Yeah, yeah. Movie. The Sandrider is the big giant sandworm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Duh. Yeah. All right, we're back. Welcome back, everybody. So, Brian, what we were talking a little bit before we went to that break, we were talking a little bit about how you kind of got started in comedy, but I think the first time that I saw you was on television on Seinfeld.
Uh-huh.
Which was, like, the biggest show, arguably the biggest show in the world for a little while.
Uh-huh.
Still very, very up there in my, you know, top five list.
I still watch it when it's on. I watched it last night.
Yeah, you can't get away from
it. In a hotel room and one comes on.
Yeah, my wife and I bought all the box sets.
Oh, right on.
On DVD, you know, and you, were you on a couple episodes?
No, just did one.
Just one?
And I barely made it on. Like, I snuck on in the last year.
Really?
I think it was like the fifth or sixth to the last episode.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, for some reason I thought...
No, it was right at the end because they were already like...
They were like
boxing up their offices and
no
stuff.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that... And that was the one where they were pretending... Or Kramer and...
And Danny Woodburn is the actor's name.
Right,
I can't remember the characters.
Kenny.
Is
it Kenny?
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
The little person.
Yeah, yeah. They were doing... acting for like hospital
NYU med school med school students let's see how Seinfeld nerdy you are. Do you remember who played one of the med school students? Do you know the episode well?
I'm trying to think back. I know that like every time, you know, every one of Seinfeld's girlfriends has been, you know, someone.
Well, watch it again.
Famous.
It's Daniel Day Kim.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, Jin from Lost.
No way.
Yeah, no.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He looks super young, too.
Yeah, he and I are friends to this day
because
we did that. Yeah, we did that episode. That was one of our first things.
Oh, that's great.
And then we made friends on the set. And
I still
see him. I was out in Hawaii, and I ran into him. But.
So was that your first TV appearance?
No, it wasn't, but it was one of the first big ones.
Yeah.
I got to do a lot of stuff in the late 90s around the same time.
Uh-huh.
I did, like, a bunch of big shows. I did Friends.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I did News Radio. Twice, with the Mr. Show guys once, and then once by myself, and then Everybody Loves Raymond twice with Bob Odenkirk, and I got real lucky at that point too.
Yeah,
and then I just now started doing some of the other big sitcoms recently. I did Big Bang Theory last year.
Oh, really?
Looks like I'm doing what's the one? How I Met Your Mother. And it's nice to.
Great, man.
Be back on those big ones.
But did that Seinfeld appearance, did that, like, feel big at the time, too? Or were you just like,
it did. Well, and I was a big fan of the show.
Oh, yeah.
And even though I was doing, I'm trying to think if I was on Just Shoot Me yet. I don't think I was.
Uh-huh.
I think I got on Just Shoot Me as a regular character after that. But, Friends was a building show when I'd done it. Friends was, they were in their second year, so they were pretty hot, and they weren't super friendly.
Oh, really?
A couple of them weren't super friendly.
Oh, no.
And so that wasn't a great experience, but Seinfeld really was. Like, Seinfeld, you know, to go on the biggest show at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
And with the biggest comedian at that time.
Right.
And he was super cool.
Uh-huh.
He could not have been nicer to me and, like, knew I was a stand-up. And I had actually auditioned three times for that show.
For other parts,
you know, before that. And he had always been encouraging in the room then, too. Like, when I would audition, he's like, you're really funny. I don't know if we're going to give this one to you, but keep coming.
Oh, cool.
And you
cool.
never get that as an actor.
Yeah.
Especially not from the lead of the show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So he just, that always made such a good impression on me still. I mean, the fact that, you know, 10 years later or however long it's been,
I still
look at that moment of, like, he didn't have to do that, you know.
He seems like he would be a very nice person.
Yeah, I think he can be the biggest dick you've ever met.
It might just be his demeanor.
If he feels like it, you know.
Yeah.
Like, he's got those powers. Like, he could be a wizard of dickness. You know, if he wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably could. He could wield that flaming sword.
Yeah, but he didn't.
Well, that's cool, man. That's really cool. Now, you've been, I mean, like you said before when we first started talking, like, you've been at this for quite some time. How many years total do you think?
Stand up?
Yeah.
Well, 26 years this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Happy birthday?
yeah.
That's great though. So you've seen though the ebb and the flow of the comedy world.
Uh-huh.
Because 80s were big and then we went into this lull period and now we're kind of seeing this big climb up in the comedy.
Yeah.
The comedy realm again.
Well, we all panicked in like 93, 94 and moved to LA and got writing jobs.
Right.
We were living in San Francisco, a couple of us. I'm speaking to like Greg Behrendt, Patton Oswalt, Dave Anthony, a couple of our friends. Yeah. We, you know, our future looked dim because we were like, well, we can't make a living. We're not headliners yet.
Yeah.
So in 1993, there was no way you could make a living as a stand-up comic if you weren't a headliner.
Right.
If you weren't already traveling the country and, you know, or on TV. You were fucked. And so we started writing sketches and, you know, started doing other things because you kind of had to.
Right.
If you were going to make a living at all. So
it was pretty scary then.
Yeah, it was. But I just kind of always went with it. I was never that frightened. I was like, oh, I like sketch comedy. So, yeah, I'll do that, too. I'll do that next. So just moved to L.A. and then got real lucky, you know, hooked up with the Mr. Show guys. Well, I was already friends with David Cross I moved to L.A. So I met Bob just after moving to L.A. And then we started doing sketches around town. We were all doing our own stuff. I did a sketch show. I called it a one-man show, but I had a bunch of friends doing, you know, sketches with me. But I had written everything. I wound up asking him to do that. So he saw that I could write and... You know, a year later or so, we started working on Mr. Show. So.
Right. Did you ever think that Mr. Show, I mean, was there any thought with anybody on that program that would become such a cult hit?
I think I was the first one to know that.
Really?
I feel like I was the first one to go, holy shit. Like, because the first four episodes, they just wrote themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went, and we had worked on sketches, like a couple of things in the first season. We had done live around town.
Yeah.
But I didn't like see the scope of it then till we sat down and read all four scripts back to back. We did a read through and Bob and David brought people that were performing in it, but then wanted other writers to hear it too. So I think I did a couple of voices or a couple of parts when we read it, but it was after that. Like I walked away from that read through going, oh my God, people are going to shit a brick when they see this. This is going to be the funniest thing on television. And then I was right, like when we shot it.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, this turned out amazing. And then, you know, was asked to be a part of it. So I went on the show season two as a fan, really.
Oh, that's cool, man. Yeah. Yeah, and it's a great show. It's so, so weird sometimes, though.
And I was like the first person to feel... Because it's also when you're doing stuff like that, especially back then, there was no internet, so we didn't have like instant, critics or fans or anything that.
Yeah.
It just kind of was like performing in a vacuum and just not knowing what was going on.
Uh-huh.
And I went to a Comic-Con, and there were people at San Diego Comic-Con going, "Mr. Show, really funny," and so I went back to the guys. I was like, "Hey, we're connecting. There's people that are finding it.
That's pretty great. Yeah. You've had a from an outsider's perspective, you've had a pretty cool career, I must say.
From my perspective, I'm pretty proud. There's only a couple of things where I'm like, why'd I do that?
Just,
I don't know, money jobs, just a couple of like writing things and some of the sitcoms.
Space Dogs 2.
No, I haven't luckily had to do much of that. Even though, like, I wrote How High, or I wrote on How High,
that
Method Man, Red Man movie. But that's still, even that was a fun experience.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a couple of things, like when people go, Fantastic Four 2, Rise of the Silver Surfer. Yeah, it sucks. It totally sucks.
Yeah, yeah. But was it cool to be able to do that?
Yeah, to be on the, you know, at that point I'd only done smaller things. So to be in a budget, you know, a big budget movie, like they're showing me the set that we were on was $1.5 million.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, wow, you know.
Yeah.
At that point, because when we did Mr. Show, we were like stealing locations. We would jump out of a van sometimes in L.A., and just run up and do something.
And shoot then, something for 10 minutes and then
jump back in the van and hope the cops didn't see us. Like, that's true. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah. And so to do that, you know, and then I got to meet Stan Lee. And I don't have a ton of regrets. There aren't a ton of things.
Yeah.
There's some big projects that I didn't get that I wish I got.
Uh-huh.
Like, Monsters, Inc., I got real close to the John Goodman part.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's like the big furry one, right?
Yeah, well, the lead, him and Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal,
so.
Yeah, yeah.
And I still, to this day, that one bites a little.
Yeah.
Because I just went and saw the sequel with my kid, you know, and my wife and I are both like, because she knows the story.
Yeah,
you know,
I
had the casting people for Disney and Pixar just pushing me. And at that point, they hadn't done movies with people that weren't stars. You know?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Later, they did Ratatouille before Patton was huge. But
yeah,
at that point, they, you know, relied on stars. And somebody, one of the people that pulled the trigger, was like, no, well, let's get John Goodman. And but still to this day, I'll have Pixar people go, do you know how close you came? And I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh, man.
I've heard the stories.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. You could have.
That's the one like regret in my career.
Right, yeah.
Where it's like, oh, I wish that would have happened.
Dude, that would have been great.
Because I'd have a slightly nicer house, or my house would be more paid for than it is.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Right. I just bought a house this morning, actually.
Oh, yeah?
I'm pretty excited
about
it. Congrats. Yeah, thank you, man. It went into like a bidding war.
Oh.
And it was bad. It was nasty. People were swearing.
Yeah, so
I was doing most of the swearing.
Is it a good market up here now,
dude? It's insane.
It's getting better again.
It's really insane. Like because there's such a lack of availability.
Okay,
and so people are just going after houses.
Right.
And anyway, that's kind of a boring topic, but I'm still very excited about it. I now have a studio where I can set up all this stuff and finally get one step closer to having a full size Boba Fett.
It's the best, but you're gonna have those moments where you're like, I wish there was somebody to call. Now you're the guy that has to make the shit done.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've been living in a condo for like the last 5 years.
Who do I call to fix the roof leak? Oh, the guys that are actually going to do it.
Yeah,
like, you can't just call, hey, man, my roof's leaking.
That's true. That's totally
true. Your wife tells you, and then you.
I just call my wife.
Yeah, yeah. You're
like, hey, the yard looks terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know someone?
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, but I'm pretty excited about that.
Cool.
Man. Yeah, finally have a yard for my daughter to play in and stuff. You know, that's always a big plus, right?
For sure. That's like what we went before we had our son. We got a bigger house.
Oh, okay.
We were in a small place, and it was full of dogs and cats and us, and there was no room to have a child. So we got a bigger place.
Yeah, that's what we did too. And then we had started the family, but we ended up buying like a condo. A nice size condo, you know, and that's where we've done this show for the last like 3+ years. And, it's been a great place. There's just no outdoor space,
right?
You know, so that's always nice. But, where was I going with this? I don't know.
We had talked about stuff I regret or long career.
So what's, let's see. 1, 2, 3. So, is there anything
still? Did
you just
take a break?
Yeah, my brain just farted. What's on the to-do list still? Like, what's still up there for you that you would still like to accomplish?
Want to have my own show at some point, or at least try. I've been inspired by other friends, and you don't have to go the route that you used to have to go as a stand-up, It doesn't have to be Seinfeld or Everybody Loves Raymond anymore. You know, you can do Marin and Louie.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And
God, Marin, Louis is such a great show.
Louie is a genius.
Yeah.
So Louie, that didn't inspire me as much because I'm like, I'm not Louie. I'm not Louie. I can't do that.
Yeah,
Marin.
Yeah.
Marin, I can do.
Yeah, yeah.
Marin is attainable. He's a friend too. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, so you can say that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But I watched Maron's show, and I'm like, I could do that. That yeah, like recently yeah. got me really inspired to finally. I've been working on a thing for a while, and I was actually with a production company last year, mm-hmm. and then I just got busy with other stuff. But yeah, I do have a thing I've been working on for me.
Nice.
And then
nice.
I love horror. I want to write a horror movie, and I want to direct a horror movie down the road, you know,
yeah.
and do a horror comedy right, you know. It's
yes.
only been done right a couple of times. In
Tucker and Dale versus
yeah,
Evil, Shaun of the
but
Dead.
But nobody saw Tucker and Dale.
I know, which
so
is so
good.
Bad. I preached that movie to anybody that I meet that is into the genre.
Yeah.
Because that one was done so well.
Yeah.
You know,
there's
and,
a couple in the past. Tremors is great.
Oh, Tremors is fantastic.
Return
yeah.
of the Living Dead. You
which
don't
one
know.
Was
you don't know Return.
Return of the Living
Return's
Dead.
The funny one. So it's. It's based in the Living Dead world, but it's not Romero directing it
okay.
or writing it. It was a guy now, I can't remember his name, and I love him.
You know, I think Derek Sheen was actually the one that told me about that as well.
He had written Alien or Aliens, and then he, you know, yeah, he wrote the original, and then he directed this guy. Now, nerds are going to be so mad. But anyway, Return of the Living Dead is
okay,
a great comedy
out.
Horror.
Yeah, yeah. Cabin in the Woods was funny,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. But then there's not too many others that stand out. Slither tried.
I thought
Slither
was pretty good.
Kind of hit and miss for me.
Yeah.
There was some
oh,
good
really?
Moments, yeah.
I'm just a huge Nathan Fillion fan.
Yeah.
So that's like...
Night of the Creeps. Do you know Night of the Creeps
no.
from the 80s?
Got to see
Watch
that one,
Night
too.
Of the Creeps. Really Damn. Great. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You've given me a whole list of things that I must do now. Yeah.
And so I've got an idea I've been working on for that, you know,
mm-hmm.
but, other than that, you know, just keep doing what I'm doing and,
yeah.
and, I'm doing more comic books. I'm having a lot of fun with Deadpool.
Are you still working on Deadpool?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're already plotting out year two. So,
and you're working with Tony Moore, right?
He did the first six issues.
Oh, okay.
He's going to come back. Hopefully we've had other guys, great guys since him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The guys that are Mike Hawthorne has done the most since uh-huh. him. We've got him on a couple because, like, you the thing people don't know is you're planning the whole year as you go. So, like, I've had while people were reading the first six, like, we've got art done for like issue 18 already.
Oh, really?
So we've had
okay.
other guys like
you got a whole backlog
doing arcs.
So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just so we're ready to go and so we don't fall behind.
Oh, that's great, man. Speaking of comic books, Let's see. I think it was like either the first or the second Emerald City Comic Con. I went with my buddy Sam, who was trying to get into, you know, drawing and stuff for books. And so he kind of drug me down there. And I had never been to a Comic Con before.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when it was like, it was down near like the Seahawks Stadium and stuff.
Right.
And I walk in.
Guy, yeah.
And you were at this table.
Oh, so I was there.
Hawking
yeah, I was just going to say, I think
The Last
I was
Christmas
there. Yes.
or something like
yeah,
that,
yeah.
right? And so I was like, oh my God, that's Brian Posehn. Posehn.
However.
Posehn. And I was very, very nervous. And so I walked in front of your table four or five times before I stopped and said, hey, what's going on? What do you got here? What's your name?
That's really funny.
But now... You're not that intimidating.
Yeah.
You're just
I'm,
a fellow
I'm
father
way more approachable.
With a hate breed shirt on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, oh, I didn't know that was that was one of the first years, huh?
I think it was one of the first. Yeah, if not the first, maybe the second.
Cuz I just did it this year.
Yeah, I interviewed Tony Moore and was hanging out with him for a little while at that one, and it turned out you were sitting right next to
oh,
him.
Oh, right, right,
at
right.
That one. Yeah, yeah.
That was
huge.
So fun.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
one of my favorite ones I've done ever.
Really?
Yeah, because unlike Comic-Con in San Diego, it's way more about the comics.
Yes. Yeah.
In Comic-Con, if you know, like the last 10 years, maybe when I first started going to San Diego, it was more about the comic books, but each year it seems like they're pushed further and further, and not just
the
guys selling Silver
right.
Age,
yeah.
but I mean even the comic book companies. You know, it's like,
oh, really?
Yeah, well, 15 years ago, like, Fantagraphics was huge. So Fantagraphics had this huge display, and
mm-hmm,
Oni
mm-hmm.
and
Image and
Image,
like that, yeah.
and then the DC and Marvel, of course.
Right.
But now even those guys are way down, you know, the
well,
other side of the building.
And, isn't it? I mean, San Diego's more about like cosplay, movies, and video games now, right?
Right. And like, then
That's kind
G4 and people had these huge booths devoted to people interviewing the celebrities of the con. And,
right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's
which I will have to say, like, I'm not into the books as much anymore. And I haven't been for a little while, but like the video game parts of these things has really got me going now.
I still enjoy. I mean, I'm looking for San Diego's next week, and you know, it'll be a lot of fun.
That's right.
Hanging out with friends and doing a little bit of work but mostly just fun.
Yeah, yeah, and searching for stuff.
Yeah,
that's always the fun.
Now
part.
Now I look for my kid. You know, he's got so many things he's into.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad, but I'm spending a lot less money, you know, because now I can't really justify coming home with a Steve Ditko Spider-Man
right.
to my wife. Like, look what I got.
Yeah. It was only $250.
It's way more than
that, really?
My friend.
Oh, God.
Yeah, if you're looking for any Steve Ditko and, you know, plus in the, you know, I like the grades. I really like mine to be nicer.
Okay.
I don't like to buy, you know.
No ratty shit for you.
Yeah, no, I just don't want the spine roller or any of that stuff.
Right.
I'm super nerdy, but anyway.
It's got to have a backing board in there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My friends, the guy I write Deadpool with, he's like, if people knew just like the level of nerd that I am, like, and it's not just nerdiness, it's OCD is involved in it, too.
Oh, yeah.
So. Like, I read my comic books alphabetically.
You do?
Yeah.
That's true.
It's true. Like, when books come out on Wednesday, I'll go to the bookstore.
Yeah.
And if I don't stack them alphabetically as I'm leaving the comic book store, that's the first thing I do when I get home. And even my reading list is alphabetical.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm right now at home, I'm a couple of months behind on my books.
Okay.
But they are stacked alphabetically.
Right. And you will go through
and
them.
And I will go home
like
and I will
that.
Put my, with my new stack, and then I'll put my new stack in. But.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And
that's
then I will,
like,
I will read them from A to Z.
Brian, that's next level shit.
It's really. It's OCD. It's just geekiness.
Yeah. No, that's a disorder.
No, I know it. I mean, Patton always made fun of me. Like, in Comedians of Comedy, there's a moment where I kind of have a meltdown. We're in Boston. We're at Newbury Comics, and they don't have backing boards. And he's like, oh, shit. You know, like, your Wednesday just is destroyed.
It's
and I'm like,
ruined.
It's more than one day, dude. Like, what am I going to do?
This is going to ruin my week.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
but
great.
That's the one we left out of, like, and people don't need to know you read them alphabetically. That's fucked up.
Yeah. Well, they do now.
Yeah.
50 of them do now.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, Brian, thank you so much for talking with me, man. This has been a real pleasure. Like I said, you know, from, I don't know, what was that? Seven, 8 years ago when I walked in front of your
table.
Yeah,
it had to be because last Christmas was that long ago.
Yeah. That was a great book, by the way.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I love that one. You know, you're not that bad of a guy.
Oh,
not too scary.
You.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Well, there you have it, folks. There's our conversation with Brian Posehn. What a fabulous dude, right? Yeah. Super nice, super willing to chat, and some great stories, too. Some great stories. Well, I hope you guys really enjoyed that. I know I did. It was fabulous to get to talk with him finally. Boy. Hey, we got one more thing to tell you about. One thing that helps us out so much is if you go to iTunes, rate and review the show. It'll only take you a couple seconds to do so, and it helps us out in the long run because publicists and people who, you know, are thinking about coming on the program, they look at that stuff. They actually do look at those rankings to see, you know, if this is a real thing. And so if you go to iTunes, maybe even just sign on to your sister's account and subscribe to the show and rate and review it for her. That it's not, you know,
It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing if you do that, because you're helping somebody out. You're helping us continue this awesome show, right? Yes. So go to iTunes, do that, and throw us a bone. Throw us a bone, man. Help us out. Okay. Coming up next week, our Timberfest coverage. We'll play that for you next week with interviews with three magnificent bands. Quasi, I got to talk with Quasi, Fruit Bats, and the Helio Sequence. Three amazing bands. It was so cool to meet Quasi. Holy shit. I've been listening to those guys since I was in high school. Seriously, people. Man, meeting Janet Weiss and getting to sit down and chat with Janet Weiss was a complete honor. And it's a great conversation with all three of the three bands. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. I had a fantastic time at Timber this weekend. It was so great. Met a lot of great people. And we'll talk all about it next week. So yeah, do that, right? Tune in. Stay tuned with the Air Raid podcast. You can also find us on the web, air-raid.net. Visit our webpage and find all the archives with all the past episodes, all 150 episodes and 57 episodes available there. Also, you can find us on Facebook, the Air Raid podcast, and Twitter at Air Raid Net. So yeah, do that. I'm always posting little jokes and things like that and little show updates to tell you what's coming. And if we can't make a show, that's a good place to find out about it, people. Facebook and Twitter. So yeah, you can follow us on there as well. Well, I'm also on Instagram under at Yup It's Aaron. Yup It's Aaron. That's my Instagram thingy. And I'm posting pictures there of bands and stuff like that at these music festivals. So that's always a fun time. So you can find me all over the place on the web, air-raid.net. Do that. Okay. I'm done. I'm sorry. Boy, am I sorry. I hope you guys have a great week. Thanks for listening so much. This is Sand Rider, and we'll be back next week with our Timber coverage, the Air Raid podcast, episode 158. Have a good one, everybody.